You'd stand up for your people, if needs be, even fight. But now, if you uphold such values, then you are far right. We're all far right now. We're all far right now. Peterson, Rogan, Ben Shapiro, E-I-E-I-E-I-O. We worship Mussolini. His portrait's in the loft. Must say Twitter, hail Hitler. We're all far right now. Except we're not all far right. We're far right thugs. That is what Sakir said. We're far right thugs for holding to these values. And what I want to look at today is how evolutionary psychology, that's an evolutionary perspective on how humans behave, explains precisely what is happening in the UK at the moment in terms of riots, disorder, ethnic strife, and so on. And before some people say, oh, this is a just-so story, no. This is what I've been predicting in my books for years. But before I do that, could you please subscribe? It helps me most violently if you do that. It helps me if you subscribe here on YouTube, and also if you subscribe on my Substack, jollyheretic.com, where I put all of the spiciest content that I don't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put movies I make, all kinds of stuff, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for as little as the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. Now, from an evolutionary perspective, what is happening in the UK at the moment, these riots have been going on for a week since those three little girls were murdered by a second-generation Rwandan immigrant, makes perfect sense, and I want to explain to you precisely how. First of all, if you look at the book by Tatu Vanhanen, which is called Ethnic Conflicts, then he draws upon a huge amount of data to show that the correlation between ethnic diversity and ethnic conflicts in a society is 0.66. This is very substantial, and it makes sense because studies have indicated that if you show people photographs of strangers who are foreigners and strangers who are of their own ethnic group, then when you show them the strangers of foreigners, it activates the amygdala. That's our flight, fright and fright response, the most primitive part of the brain, because we are evolved to see, whether we like it or not, to see such people as a danger to our in-group and to react. And therefore, such society puts us under low-level stress all of the time. It also makes a great deal of sense that we would cooperate with our in-group over our out-group, because we would see the out-group as a danger and the in-group as friends, because it is a matter of indirectly passing on your genes. Two random English people are more related to each other than a random English person and a random Dane. If you look at research by Frank Salter in his book On Genetic Interests, he shows that if you take two random English people, if the world is divided just between the English and the Danes, then two random English people in relation to Danes are seventh cousins, i.e. they have an ancestor, common ancestor in maybe 1600, something like that. Now, what this means in realistic terms is if an English person stops 60 Danes from replacing 60 English people, then that is the equivalent of him gaining a child. So it makes sense for you to lay down your life in certain circumstances for your society. He is saving a child. That is the genetic equivalent of saving 50% of his own genetic interests if he stops 60 Danes from displacing 60 English. The more genetically distant the people are, the fewer people need to be replaced. So, for example, two random English people in relation to Japanese people are not seventh cousins; they are first cousins. And he needs to stop a mere four Japanese people from replacing four English people to avoid losing the equivalent of one child. So this is showing you the genetic interests and how they work at a group level and why it is that we tend to disproportionately cooperate with people who are genetically similar to us, with an ethnic group really being little more than an extended genetic family. So therefore, we would expect there to be ethnic conflict if you put two ethnic groups together, and there is. Secondly, you find that trust collapses even among the natives, as Rob Putnam has shown in his paper E Pluribus Unum. And this is because the natives understand that among them there are Machiavellians who will cooperate with the outgroup, with the foreigners against them, in order to create a treasonous coalition and gain power over them. And they understand that, and therefore trust among the natives starts to collapse. And so it should, because a very interesting paper by Waitz, W-A-Y-T-Z, et al, look it up, has shown, as I've discussed before, that the moral circle of left-wing people is different from that of right-wing people. For right-wing people, the world is a series of concentric circles around self, each at a greater genetic distance. You love your family more than your kin, your kin more than your class more than your ethnic group more than your race, and so on, and each of them more genetically distant from self. The moral circle of the leftist is not like that. No, no, no. He favours people that are more distant over his own. He favours a different class over his own. He favours a different ethnic group over his own, a different race over his own. And this allows him to engage in this kind of treason and to cooperate with foreigners to gain power over his own people. And not only that, but when a right-wing person feels insulted, he tends to turn on members of another ethnic group, i.e. the group in which he is competing, whereas a left-wing person turns on members of their own group. Now, what would we expect if, for whatever reason, people who were left-wing like this were able to attain power? Well, we would expect them to create a two-tier system in which they would favour foreigners, their coalition, the people that benefit them, over their own group. You would expect them to have two-tier policing. You would expect foreigners to be policed less harshly. You would expect hate speech laws to stop people criticising foreigners and drawing attention to what they do. You would expect a narco-tyranny in which foreign crime is not policed, A, because the foreigners are part of their coalition, and B, because if you have a sort of a narco-tyranny in which crime isn't policed, then people are so frightened and so concentrating on their own safety that they can't really organise to try and oppose the regime. So that's what you get. Now, you would also get them creating their own morality. And what would that system of morality be? It would be a system of morality based around those genetically distant from self. Those people would be presented as marginalised, in need of care. There'd be an inverted system of morality. And those people, in particular foreigners, would be expected to be worshipped and subject to special pleading, while anyone that criticised them who was native would be subject to the full force of the law. How could this happen? Well, it could happen if we were in an evolutionary mismatch. If we're in an evolutionary match, i.e. we're surrounded by lots and lots of death, 50% child mortality, which was the case until 1800, then our instincts would be brought out. What are our instincts? Our instincts are things like ethnocentrism, that you value the in-group and you oppose the out-group. Now, these wouldn't be brought out, and this would allow this kind of way of thinking to come to the fore. There is indeed some evidence that intelligent people are less instinctive than less intelligent people, because intelligence is about solving cognitive problems, and you're better able to solve cognitive problems if you can rise above your instincts and think logically. It follows that people that are less intelligent need to be in a more adaptive roadmap of life, as it were. They need to be in an evolutionary match, or their instincts won't be brought out. Intelligence, though there are exceptions, is associated with socioeconomic status. So you would expect people of high socioeconomic status to be low in instinct, and therefore for their ethnocentric instincts to not be brought out, and therefore to be more likely to go along with anti-ethnocentric, non-instinctive behaviour, such as favouring foreigners over their own kind. Then this would become the more dominant position. Intelligent people would realise this, and they would force themselves to believe it, and before long you have a new morality, and that is the morality of whites being bad and of foreigners being good, and it spreads and spreads and spreads. And then anyone that questions that is a danger. Anyone suddenly, the reason if you're in power, why you're in power, is because you are the person that is the uber representative of this new morality. And your coalition, your power, your access to resources is propped up by you having a coalition of foreigners behind you. Anyone that tries to undermine this by questioning the rights and power of the foreigners or questioning the morality of the system is a danger to you. And what must you do? You must shut them up. You must shut them up. And therefore, you call them far right thugs, and not only that, but you manipulate the news. They're far right thugs, but Muslims that misbehave are simply thugs. And on it goes, in the hope that eventually you can make them crack and make them stop and make them back down. But I wonder if with what has happened now with these little white girls being murdered by a second generation immigrant, which has then, okay, wasn't seemingly a Muslim, but it's then brought in all of these other resentments over Islam, over two-tier policing of foreigners, over everything else. It sparked it all off. I wonder if this has crossed a line, and it seems to have in Belfast, because in Belfast we saw people united, Protestants and Catholics, after 400 years, united, joining arms, one with the tricolour of the Republic, one with the Red Hand of Ulster flag, in their march against these murders and in their march against illegal migration and so on. And that makes sense, because from an evolutionary perspective, Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland are far more deadly similar than are the immigrant communities in the UK. So you would expect them to be united over this. And what I suspect is this is going to die down. I mean, this is going to die down by the end of the summer, but it's going to come back. It's like a chronic disease, like an infection. It's going to come back. Because remember, 0.66 relationship between ethnic diversity and ethnic conflict. We now have four members of parliament that are elected as Islamists. It's going to come back and going to come back and going to come back. And a kind of Northern Ireland will be the new future. I think it's going to be something of a ride and not necessarily a particularly pleasant one, but it makes perfect sense in terms of evolutionary psychology.
Are you ready for the future of the West?